And welcome back. Margaret B. here, Executive Director of Playful Indiana, Life Behind Bars podcast. This is something that's been on my mind for a while. As I travel across the state and I meet new people or talk to old friends, go to events, I've heard this comment multiple times, and it just really kind of has been, you know, kind of haunting and sticking in my brain. But I've had so many people say to me, I used to race BMX in the 80s, 90s. I used to race BMX, and that was how I started, you know, cycling, and that was so much fun, and I have so many great memories, and that's how they started, you know, in the cycling world. So that kind of transpired into this big question of what happened to BMX in the state of Indiana. And back in 2020, I think four, when I was traveling, I went up to Kokomo and I went up to a couple of the bike shops, and I went and visited a skate park and in Kokomo, and it was absolutely beautiful. And it was new, and it was a huge community asset, and the bike shops just kept telling me about how there was this huge, BMX, but skate park, pump track, community that just kind of fizzled. And so I've been asking a bunch of individuals to connect me, or people that I already know, kind of why BMX has kind of disappeared. So this is a two-part series. The first part, I interview a gentleman named Brandon, who has been racing BMX for a very long time. And then my second interview is with an elite, world-class professional BMX racer who lives in Indiana and travels all over and races, and she's an incredible human. So two-part series. I hope you enjoyed this discussion. I've learned a lot because this is a cycling discipline that I've never even tried. And there's a huge history, but also there's a huge lesson, I think, for the whole state, and our listeners can hopefully tune in and bring back maybe this cycling discipline, because there's a lot of culture, community, and history behind this. So enjoy these two discussions. And like I said, if you are not a member of Bicycle Indiana, please take a moment to go to www.bicycleindiana.org. Join, help us keep us rolling. You can also join through your local BMV with our license plate program. But yeah, really stoked about this discussion, and I hope you enjoy it. Welcome back to Bicycle Indiana's podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B. here, Executive Director. I have somebody on the phone, the Zoom call today, that we met on social media, and I'm really excited to talk about this topic. So first off, I'm going to welcome Brandon Medley. Is that how you say your last name?
Correct, yes.
All right. Hey. Do you want to take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, Brandon Medley. 43 years old. I've been riding BMX since I was, you know, a little kid. Typical little grom running around the neighborhood, you know, doing wheelies down the street with your buddies. And that spawned into all this.
Yeah.
So now I've had a lifetime full of bikes. And
yeah
from Northern Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Currently live in the Indianapolis area.
Okay.
So
I was going to ask where you actually lived. So to give our listeners kind of why I have Brandon on the call to talk about this particular type of racing and riding. But for the last, I would say, 6 to 7 months, I've had a very common theme or topic when I meet people, if I'm talking to them on the phone or if I'm talking to them in person. But the common thing that people have been saying to me is, I used to race BMX in the 80s. And it just kept coming up in conversations, and a lot of these individuals that were racing in the 80s and the 90s, mostly the 80s, they're older now, and they're trying to either, whether it's race again, or they just remember and talk about it. And I just kept asking myself and those people, what happened to BMX? So let's talk about BMX racing with Brandon. Can we first start off, what is BMX?
So, how to sum it up, I guess.
Yeah.
BMX racing is, it's taken so many different paths over since, like you said, since the 70s and 80s and all of that, from grassroots to now on the Olympic level. Most of your levels now are on the local level to some regionals, nationals, your Gold Cup races. It's eight people per the gate for your main. A lot of times you've got motos. You'll do your two motos for qualifying, which will get you to the main.
Okay.
From there, who's ever in the main, that's how you finish.
Okay.
So
what's moto?
So your moto is your first round of qualifying.
Okay.
Each moto is qualifying. So you've got moto one, moto two, that'll get your qualifying for all of your riders to make it to the main.
Yeah.
So some riders don't always make it to the main.
Oh, because their times aren't. Got it.
Yeah. It's a head to head battle. So, you know, and you get a transfer spot for your finish.
Got it. So eight riders wide.
Yep.
And then they all go off and it's all based off on time.
It's all based on placement.
Oh, on placement. Sorry. Yeah. On placement. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Let's back up now. What type of bicycle? I'm obviously can Google about it, and I've seen some BMX racing and the bikes, but do you want to explain to our listeners the style of bike that people use?
So yeah, typically these days it's aluminum frame or carbon fiber frame, which seems to be most anything anymore from all across your cycling sports. Mm-hmm. Carbon, like I'm looking at mine right now, I was just riding this. I ride what's called an OS20.
Okay.
It's an oversized 20-inch wheel. It's still a 20-inch wheel. It's your traditional 20-inch BMX bike. It's just a little bit larger. I'm old. I'm old. Mm-hmm. My bones they don't work right. So it's a little bit more forgiving. Stepping back from that, your standard BMX bike is a 20-inch wheel. When people hear 20-inch, they're not sure if that's wheel or that's frame size or whatever. But so it's a 20-inch wheel based on your frame size. And they go all across the board from pro size, which would be like a 20, 20 and a half, all the way up to 23 inches.
Okay.
As far as your top tube length. So that gives you your foundation for your frame geometry. From there, it's you know, we're bringing in 18, 19 pound bikes.
And
my race bike right now is about 19 and a half.
Wow. Pounds. Yeah.
So yeah, it's, you know, it's quite a lot of bike for what way, you know.
Sure.
So, you know, it's not, once again, back in the 80s, 90s, we all ran like Toyota Comp 3 tires, nice, good, grippy dirt tire. It's not that way anymore.
No.
Now we're running real skinny street tires, basically, almost like a cycling tire. Very hard compound, mm-hmm. but very hard tire, but very sticky compound. Mm-hmm. We're running 110 PSI in the tires.
Whoa.
And it's surprising. You would think, you know, these slippery, smooth tires wouldn't have any grip. But yeah, just tons of grip and go. So
I have a friend here, and I know we're mutually friends with him, but Rich Moore, who's mm-hmm. the bike park manager of Griffin Bike Park, he races, I think he said 60 plus this year.
Yep. Yep.
And I have a really difficult time riding with him at Griffin Bike Park because I'm a roadie, but I just can't keep up or ride some of the things that he can ride because of his skills and just, I guess, maybe no fear. But he has shown, you know, his BMX bike off to me and explained a little bit about the tires. And I didn't realize that your tire pressure was that high.
Yeah. Yeah. We joke around and say, you know, that's free speed. The harder your tires are, that's less rolling resistance.
Yeah.
So,
And the bikes usually are more, they're like smaller bikes, you know, and the seats are usually slammed down.
Yeah, our seats are pointless.
Yeah, the seats are. But so explain that. Why are the seats pointless?
Well, we're standing up the whole time. We're standing up for 35-second race.
Oh.
You know, so I mean, you're just standing up pedaling. So we use the seats in the gate. That's about it.
Okay.
Sit down in the gate, get comfortable, get set up, and then that's it.
Okay, so eight wide, and then describe the type of I guess, track or like, because we don't have a route, you just have a track that's set up. Describe a typical track for a BMX race.
So typically it's, I can't remember the length on it, 1300, 1800 foot long. Each race is about 35-ish seconds, depending on what class you're running. Could be less, a little bit more. Like the class Rich and I both race in, cruiser class, we're getting up into the higher 38, 40, 42 second laps. Mm-hmm. Your elite pros are doing 32 second laps, 28 second laps.
Yeah.
Which, you know, doesn't sound like much, but it's a lot. A lot happens real quick. So basically you're sitting in a gate, you've got a cadence. That cadence will go off. Once that cadence drops, the gate drops. You've got eight riders wide running full speed towards the first turn for that, fighting for that whole shot, just like you would see on like motocross races and same type of concept. From there, it's kind of follow and get in where you get in, and you've got to fight for your spot per berm. The most of your tracks are three or four turns.
Okay.
So you'll have, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 straights each turn, and then your finish. Along the way, you've got several different obstacles, you know, from a step up jump to doubles to a rhythm section, tables, all kinds of different. Every track's different, and a lot of them are trying to throw in something kind of wonky and make themselves different from every other track as well.
Interesting. Okay, so let's back up even more. So we kind of have an idea of what BMX is. Let's talk about the history. How much of the history do you want to talk about? I wish Chris Hancock was on the phone call, who I believe created Museum of BMX. Can we talk about the history? So when did it start? Where did it start? You know, maybe specifically, let's talk about broad history, and then we'll talk about Indiana. Sure.
Sure, absolutely. So, like I said, I'm 43, so I came in, you know, almost kind of late into the sport once it was in its development stages. Southern California thing, Northern California thing, I think they kind of had both types of things kind of going up there. And from my gathering of it and the way I've always kind of perceived it was motocross kids emulating their parents on, you know, Swin Stingrays and any bike they could find.
Sure.
The old clunkers and all of that, whatever they had, they were racing down the hills, just emulating their parents and kids being kids, finding something to do.
Mm-hmm.
That now, you know, obviously has spawned and grown, and that has become, you know, now BMX racing. My history with BMX racing didn't pick up until the 90s. So I think I started 12 middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Ish age, me and a couple of buddies just went to a local track in northern Indiana.
Sure.
And we had other people in the area where we would ride trails and street and all that, and they were racing along with us, and it was like, hey, you want to go? I went and was hooked from go. That was every weekend from then on out.
Yeah.
We split our weekends between Warsaw and Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
Warsaw, we'd race on Saturday, race Fort Wayne on Sunday, and then haul back to Valparaiso, Indiana on Sunday evening, go to school on Monday.
So I'm hearing a trend of tracks, BMX tracks up in the north side. And when I went up to Kokomo, I went to a couple bike shops, and that's where I first heard about BMX. And I went to that skate park that they built.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And it was a beautiful brand new skate park, mm-hmm. and you could do BMX tricks and, you know, other things and ride on it. But one of the bike shops, and I can't recall off the top of my head, kind of talked about how BMX was so popular in Kokomo. And I thought, where did it go? So lots of tracks up north, and there still are currently tracks that are running right now. Correct. I had a gentleman from the Vincennes area said that there were tracks south of us as well. What tracks were BMX tracks were maybe south or other?
So parts? Evansville has a beautiful track.
Mm-hmm.
They've got I can't remember the park that it's in. It's there on the south side of Evansville. But they've got a beautiful track. A guy named Ed Zell runs it down there.
Okay.
And he's actually one of the people that got me into BMX way back as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was living in the area and was a local trail builder, building our dirt jumps and all of that. And it was kind of one of those things that we'd leave school from middle school, ride down the road to the trails that him and some buddies were building. They were a couple years older than us. And then ride trails all day. you know, sure. right after school, and then go ride street at night. And so sure. that was kind of, he was one that actually kind of helped for, you know, get me into this whole BMX yeah. thing. But
so after yeah. the '80s and the '90s, kind of when you started, it kind of, I wouldn't say it's fizzled out for you, but I've noticed that there isn't as much racing and as much of a trend of, for BMX in the state of Indiana. Is that correct?
So that's a weird thing. BMX has always been a really weird thing when it came to the visibility mm-hmm. part of it, the aspect, I guess. The racing's always been there.
Yeah.
The freestyle's always been there. The street has always been there. Those kids have always been there. It's the industry that is failing the kids.
Okay.
And the communities that is failing the kids.
Okay.
So we'll take Steel Wheels, for example. Northern Indiana, Imagination Glen is the outdoor
okay.
track.
Okay. All right.
Steel Wheels Indoor is the indoor track there okay. In Hobart. So that's the area I'm from. Growing up, we had nothing. It was an hour and a half, 2 hour drive to Warsaw.
Right.
And then it was 3 hours to Fort Wayne.
Right.
And it was the same to ride trails. You wanted to go race, you had to drive there. You wanted to go ride trails, you had to drive there.
Yeah.
Years and years and years and years go on. We tried and tried and tried forever to get a local track in Northern Indiana, Porter County, Lake County.
Sure.
And it could never take hold. Nobody would ever come off it. So we pushed for a long time, and there was actually talks of Chesterton in Porter County putting a track in there.
Okay.
Well, that ended up fizzling out, and Burns Harbor Portage picked it up, which has now become Imagination Glen, which couldn't have been put in a better location.
Yeah.
The location is at is absolutely perfect. Mountain bike trails back behind it, right off of Highway 149, easy to get to, you know, logistically perfect. So that worked out, but it took forever. The work that was had to put into the community, the fundings, everything. And then obviously okay. it's now grown into what it is up there. But so to regress, the communities don't want to put the money in it because they don't see the return on investment.
Sure.
It's not a tennis court. It's not a basketball court. It's not a, you know, a baseball diamond where they see these leagues in and out every day, these kids playing every day or their kids yeah. playing every day. We're almost flying under the radar, but needless to say, those kids are still there.
Yeah.
So, and it's that, it's the whole concept. If you build it, they will come.
Sure.
You know, and it's true. It stands true to BMX to this day. And Rich has proved that down there at Griffin. You yeah. know, he's building like crazy. And everyone's coming from all over to go ride.
Yeah.
And they just keep expanding it. So it's the same concept with BMX racing. It's there. It's just always kind of been in the background.
Sure.
And sure. one of the struggling aspects of it, I think, which was my departure from BMX, was all of the traveling, having kids, having, you know, wife and kids and jobs and all that, and then having to travel so far to get to all these tracks, whether you're doing a local or you're doing a national, you've got to go, you know, you're gone for a weekend at a time, yeah. every weekend chasing a national title. That's hard to do with a family.
Absolutely.
And then it's then like my situation, my kids aren't into this.
Yet. Yet?
No, they have zero interest.
Oh, man.
And you know what's funny about that is I always said I wouldn't push them into it. Yeah. I would let them fall into it naturally. And both of them picked it up. Both of them will ride with us from time okay. to time. But they're so stuck into what they're doing that mm-hmm. I can't even argue because sure. they're great kids and they're doing what they're doing and they're living their own life and it's rad.
That's
so nice, yeah. I can't be mad about it. And I'd worry about breaking all these bones.
Sure.
You know? And I think that's a lot of it. They've seen how tore up I've been for yeah. so many years and they're watching me do it and watching me take all these slams and stuff. And
yeah.
they're like, nah, I'm good.
Cycling can be a very high risk sport. And injuries can happen, and I've participated in many. There's a tree up in Tippecanoe County at the amphitheater, if you've ever been there, that I will remember that tree. It jumped out at me, Brandon. But I don't know if you know much about my history, but I was with NYCA, which is a youth mountain bike league, but it's kind of complete opposite of BMX. It's meant to be very easy, super fun, fast cross country for the average rec rider to come in and learn or just have a fun time. And it's to help to encourage kids to come back to racing and try other things like BMX or cyclocross or crit race, you know, just to get them involved in the racing scene. But anyway, I noticed when I was the league director for 4 years is mountain bike trails, how you were explaining how it was tough for you to get to trails or BMX race tracks or whatever. I noticed the trails were very fractured is what the word I used. And it was very similar where you had to travel somewhere. And when we used to host races for the kids, and the league right now still has this problem, is there's trails everywhere, but sometimes it's a 4 or 5 hour drive, you know, one way to a trail system for a race. And it's like, you got to be there the whole weekend.
It's a lot.
It is. And so that's why I'm curious and why I'm really happy that you're on this call to talk about the different tracks and maybe why they aren't, you know, available anymore. They're not being taken care of. But that was another thing that multiple individuals said, that there were all these tracks all over the state of Indiana, but a lot of them are abandoned now because no one wants to put the work in to maintain them. And I did learn from Rich here at Griffin Bike Park, he has a pump track and a dual slalom, but it is maintenance when the races come up because he has to wet the dirt down. So that way the track isn't so dusty and dry and dangerous. So is that the same thing with BMX tracks? Are most of them dirt or are most of them pavement?
So very much the same. All these tracks, obviously, most of them are outdoor. So you've got your dirt surface. Most of them have gone on to asphalt berms,
okay,
which is nice for the longevity of them, but obviously they need maintenance as well. The tracks, the dirt tracks, so we're doing a thing. We're laying a glue, a type of glue down. And basically what it's doing is turning that dirt kind of the concrete.
Okay.
And it makes it super hard, super tough, durable. It's kind of a water resistant to it, sheds water real well. So it's working very well for all these outdoor tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, these track operators, they've got their formulas dialed for the dirt that they're using, the seals they're using. There's other tracks that have, like in Illinois, they're trying different surfaces, like a chip and seal asphalts, and there's been a lot of innovations when it comes to it per track operators and their volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
But the volunteers put in so much time.
Absolutely.
It is constant. It's nonstop. It's not your going to your little league game and volunteering at the concession stands. It's an every weekend thing. It's sure. Maintaining the track. It's running the gate. It's running concessions. It's doing, doing the books and checking everybody in and setting motos. It's corner marshals, everybody. It definitely takes a village to get these up and running. And then that's just on the local level. You start getting to Gold Cup races or state races and nationals, and you've got a lot of people volunteering.
Yeah.
That are just there because they're kids.
So are most of the tracks in the state of Indiana privately owned, or are they city owned or county?
So the way it pretty much works is I believe they're all or most are set up as a not-for-profit.
Okay.
And they're run by city or overseen by the city through the USA BMX sanction.
Okay.
That's one of those questions that as far as the book end of it like that, I'm not really too hip on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's the tracks are there. It's not the 80s. It's not the 90s anymore where.
Oh, it's not.
you know, and like you said, tracks were all over. They were all over the state.
Yeah.
You know, I'm currently living in the Anderson area. From my understanding, there was a track just north of us in a small little town. Richmond had a track, which mm-hmm. is still there, to my understanding. And they mm-hmm. tried to kind of bring it back as like some random dirt jumps and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Kind of like a little free ride bike park.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that's doing or not. I haven't made it out there yet.
One of my board members is from Richmond and said that they are really pushing right now to get things rolling. So I'm supposed to get a contact to talk to them like how I'm talking to you. So
I would love that. It'd be great for that area.
Yeah.
So,
and then you said Imagination Glen and Valpo has one or no?
Imagination Glen there in Burns Harbor Portage. It's kind of right there on that line.
Okay.
It's at right off 149 Imagination Glen Park. And then right off of Highway 6 in Lake Station is the Steel Wheels Indoor.
Right.
Correct. You go straight from Highway 30 from there, you get Warsaw and then Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Drop down to Indy, you've got the Indy Cycleplex.
Correct.
Right next door to Major Taylor. And then you head to Columbus from there, straight south.
Right.
So Columbus has a beautiful track as well. That track, the facility, the track operators are phenomenal down there. They're doing phenomenal work. Place is absolutely beautiful. You go from there down to Evansville.
Mm-hmm.
They're running that track down there. So that's, I believe that is all of the tracks in the state currently.
Hmm.
So that's kind of... it's kind of the thing too, you know, you do your state series, you bounce all over the state, which is fun, fun to do, but to go from there, you've got to step into Illinois or Ohio, which Ohio has several tracks as well. Illinois has several tracks.
So that's a good transition. That was a question on my paper, was in other states, not necessarily surrounding states, but let's say in the US, where is BMX the most popular? California?
So yes, very much California, of course. That's kind of the easy go-to.
Sure.
South Carolina.
Really?
Really kind of anymore. Rock Hill, South Carolina is kind of in the States as far as the mecca for BMX racing.
Mm-hmm.
Rock Hill has the top-notch track. That's kind of the like I said, the big go-to, the big training facility.
Yeah.
The headquarters for USA BMX is actually in Tulsa.
Interesting.
So Tulsa, every year they have grands and what they call Rock Race of Champions every Thanksgiving, and they build an indoor track there. And that is pretty much the final big national to race for, for the season. Get your grands points, your grands win, your race of champions win, and wrap up your season.
Yeah.
But they also have, that's where the USA BMX Hall of Fame is located. They also have we'll call it an outdoor track. It's a big outdoor training facility with a big awning covering it. So, mm-hmm. But that is also, you'll talk to Carly. She's on that level.
Yeah.
I don't go, it's not my place. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's a big, what they call like the supercross. They've got the big starting hills and all of that. And, that's a whole new level of BMX racing, and that's the Olympic level.
Yeah.
That they're training. So there's, once again, it comes down to visibility with this. There's so much out there with this sport, but it's all like, if you're not in it, you're not in it. And it's obscure.
Well, and that's what kept happening. People just kept mentioning it to me, and I'm like, why hasn't this been on my radar yet? And that's why I finally was like, we need to talk about this BMX, because as a roadie, I have no idea. This world, and I mountain bike, but again, mountain biking is a whole different discipline, compared to BMX. So let's talk about, I know we've mentioned a little bit of the tracks that are here in the state of Indiana. What are the current races that are happening in Indiana? I know Rich Moore has traveled to like Elkhart and up north. Is that where most of the races are?
So yeah, once again, Imagination Glen, Steel Wheels, Higher Park in Warsaw, Franke Park in Fort Wayne. Same place right next door to the zoo.
They're always flooded when I go up to Franke.
Luckily it's not for me. Usually it's just 120 degrees and you're baking in the sun all day long. And then Evansville, once again, it's Columbus, Indy. So it's you get to travel into these tracks, but you've seen the same family.
Right.
The same friends at every track, and you bounce around throughout the whole state and hit them up. But to that point, all of these tracks that we're talking about all run local races every week or every weekend. So they've got, once again, it comes down to the visibility. These are there and these are happening. while the world is revolving elsewhere. So the availability of these kids and their parents to take these kids to these things it's there. We just need to get it out. Right. So Thursday nights at the indoor, at Steel Wheels Indoor, they do Thursday night races. Mm-hmm. They also do Friday night practices, open practice. And then Saturday night is their races. It's common up there to get 60, 70 motos for a local race.
Yeah.
You know, that's huge. There's some nationals that aren't 60 or 70 motos.
Yeah.
You know, or state races that aren't 60, 70 motos. So it's huge, and it's there. It's going. The visibility of the sport isn't there, or maybe it's just, you know, baseball is still the thing, you know.
I will say it, what I have learned over the years of being a Hoosier. I'm originally from the Detroit area, and I moved in 2016-17, and being part of the NICA world and the mountain bike world with getting kids on bikes is I noticed that Indiana is a traditional ball and stick sport state. And they love the basketball, the baseball, maybe, I guess, lacrosse. I don't know if that's even considered, but it's mostly swimming, baseball, cross country, at least here in Terre Haute where I live. Cross country is huge. But it was interesting to learn about the school systems and how, you know, there are certain regulations for even racing on Sunday, for example. But also that it was just a very popular ball and stick type of tradition here in Indiana.
Very much. And that's why I say it's the visibility of it's just not there. And right. But it's always been there. And
yeah.
It's available.
Yeah.
I agree. Figure out how to get it to these parents or these kids and show them that it's there and available.
I will say, listening to what you've told me so far and kind of, you know, Googling and, you know, researching a little bit and even talking to Rich Moore is it reminds me, you know, very much of like this big community that shows up for a weekend race and you're camping and you have an RV or you're hanging out after and talking about bikes and maybe barbecuing some food and getting to know your fellow racers. And it's a big kind of party for the weekend. And I think other cycling disciplines, such as I would say even sometimes road racing and even gravel, you don't necessarily get that. It's usually you get in, you race, and then you're out of there and you go to the hotel and you're fried and you're trying to, you know, wash off the dirt and gravel. And so that's something I think our listeners maybe can pick up on. At least I've picked up on that BMX is definitely very community focused.
Very much. I would say it's that's why I'm here in Ohio this weekend. We're here for Ray's Women's Weekend, which they do every year, typically the same weekend every year. And they'll shut down the park on Fridays for all of the women to come ride. They do different clinics and different groups and product tosses, all that stuff. It's a big old ordeal. So we come out here every year. Actually, I got a buddy who's going to show up here in a minute. So all the guys will hang out during the day. Mm-hmm. Friday, and then we all show up at 4 o'clock when the park opens, and it's free to ride. You know, you go ride all weekend with all of your friends from all over the country that you've made because of a, you know, simple little two-wheel machine.
Yeah.
And that goes across any aspect of the sport. It's not just BMX. These are mountain bikers. These are road bikers. These are BMX people from all aspects of life it's really neat. Whereas your gravel riders seem to only be gravel riders. Mm-hmm. Your roadies are roadies. Mm-hmm. And I get it with the roadies. You start dropping 10, 15 grand on a bike.
I know.
I'm going to go ride it too.
Yeah.
You know, it's justifiable.
Yeah.
But then you end up somebody like me or my wife or Rich, and you're into all of the aspects of cycling.
Yeah.
And you've now got a garage full of, you know, worth more than your cars. And you're like, which one are we going to go play on this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, we do the dirt jumpers, we do the BMX, we do the mountain bikes. I've been quite a bit cross country racing. I've done quite a bit of downhill racing, mm-hmm. a lot of dual slalom, a lot of pump track, a lot of BMX racing. And then also I've done a lot of street and freestyle BMX. So I've always hit all the aspects. The only one I never got into was road riding. Or gravel.
You never know.
Well, sure. And I'm all for it. It's just one of those things that if I'm going to go ride street, I'll jump on my mountain bike and just go ride, you know, whatever, bike path or whatever.
Yeah.
But the sports are there, the cycling's there, and there's no mold that you have to fit. And I think that's a lot of what kids, teenagers struggle mm-hmm. with, mm-hmm. is everyone wants to fit that mold or that lifestyle to mm-hmm. be in that way. That's not that way in with any of the cycling sports. It's just grab a bike and go.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're riding your freestyle bike on the racetrack or you're riding your road bike at the mountain bike trails. I don't care. Just go ride. You know, you're out, you're in, you're having fun. It just, that's all part of it. And we need to get away from that mindset of, well, I'm a BMXer, I can't do this, or I'm a mountain biker, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Go ride your bike.
Well, I don't know if you'd want to watch me on a BMX bike. I have raced dual slalom, which I only did it because another female needed somebody to race. And I have basically a dirt jumper because my mountain bike's so small. And they just slam the seat down and they're like, go. And it was fun. I was very cautious. I tried to get some speed, but people would get air and I just kind of, you know, slowly rolled over the different tabletops because I was thinking there's no point in me hurting myself. So question then, and we've kind of talked about this already, but what do you think is the best way that we can bring this back?
Community support.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of trail systems in Indiana that have been affected recently through fundings. Mm-hmm. I know that there's been a lot of stuff going on in the past couple of years as far as planning for new trail systems. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of it's probably put on hold now. I know currently here in Anderson, Ben at Buckskin Bikes.
Yeah, that's my dad.
Yep. He's working really hard on a trail system and he's been trying to lay it out for a while, doing a ton of mapping. Him and I have talked multiple routes and all of that and the funding. And once again, we talked last week and it seems like that might be kind of paused for a moment trying to figure out funding, but that's really what it comes down to.
Sure.
It's community funding and community involvement.
Yeah.
It's easy to get a playground put up in any town, but how hard is it to get a pump track, a Velo Solutions or a Pump Tracks or a Hunger skate park put up?
You're right.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same funding. It's the same recreational purposes. It's just a different set of people.
Yeah.
You can make a phone call and order a playground, I'm sure, and have it installed fairly easy. It's the same with these skate parks. You call up Velo Solutions and you say, hey, I want a pump track. Here's our budget. They come spray it. They'll come tell you what you need. They've got a whole package deal. They'll show you, lay everything out.
Yeah.
Said and done. Hunger is the same way. Yeah. Hunger has, they're based out of Indiana, out of Bloomington. They've got a lot of parks they've built. They built that one there in Kokomo you were talking about.
Yep.
They've built Newcastle. Now twice. They've done an expansion to Newcastle. They're getting ready to do Connorsville. They've done several throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. They go in front of the board through the local community and they say, here's what we can build or what's your budget?
Yeah.
Let's get community involved. How do we want to design this? And every one they do, they design somehow based around that community. Like the one they did in Batesville, they did a little casket shaped feature because of the Batesville Casket Company.
Okay.
Very involved with the community and all of that and the funding. So they always throw something fun like that in there, I guess.
Sure.
So, but once again, your baseball fields, your playgrounds, all of that, the money is always allocated to something like that. We just need to pull those resources and move them to a pump track, a BMX track, a bike park, a skate park, an all wheel park. You know, and that's kind of the big thing that a lot of places are going now is these all wheel parks. You've got pump tracks, you've got skateboards, you've got scooters, you've got wheelchairs, you've got multi-purpose trails for every option.
Right.
For your community, you know, and it's just, that's the funding seems to be there. And then by the time you get everything set up, ready to go, the funding's now pulled or been moved into something else.
Sure.
So that, once again, we come back to the visibility thing.
Yeah.
If there's more visibility in the sport, in cycling, in the community with kids on bikes and putting kids on bikes, then the parents will be involved.
Yep.
Once parents are involved, then the communities will start seeing it and they'll be involved.
Yep. Definitely.
So that's the hope.
Yeah. If you get a chance, to our listeners, as well as you, Brandon, I interviewed Stone Eater Bike Park, which is out in Lebanon, and they created a bike park out of the old landfill. And the process of that, I mean, that's on that podcast. That's like an hour long. But just like you said, trying to get the funding, but also trying to work with the different entities that are part of it, getting approval. I mean, they had a huge thing with the soil and had to get things, you know, approved and a certain level of fill dirt, all this stuff. But they finally got things going and the park is open. But yeah, no, I think community involvement is absolutely something that I'm glad that you talked about. So speaking of what Indiana can do, are there any teams? Like, are there any official BMX teams in the state?
So yes, very, very.
Ooh, ooh, let's talk.
Yeah. So once again, going back to the BMX racing, we can start there.
Okay.
I race for Indiana S Squared.
Okay.
Which is S Squared, Answer, Troy Lee Designs, Dan's Cop, as well as a ton of other co-sponsors and stuff like that. So I currently race for that team. This is my second season with that team. And that's where I go back to the family. Mm-hmm. This is very, very much a family sport. Mm-hmm. Now, all these same parents on this team, the team moms, the team dads, we drag our kids or ourselves to all of these races. We load everything in our 4Runner or whatever.
Yeah.
And we drag it all to the track. We lay it all out. We're there all weekend to ride.
Right.
There's no politics. There's no this. There's no that.
It's just bikes.
It's just bikes. And it's kids on bikes. And it's us on bikes. And it's the dumbest, most fun thing to do for us. And it's just, it's the community with it.
Yeah.
And you see the same parents. And you get to know everybody. And next thing you know, you've got this one of these good friends that you see at every track, you've never even known their name.
Right.
But you've come across each other at every race and you're talking to these people and it's like, oh yeah, but you've never even really formally been introduced. But so it's just once again, you just become a big family. Mm-hmm. But that goes with any of the sports. When I stopped BMX racing for a while, was doing the Dino series, mm-hmm. was racing the Dino series. It was the same thing. It's just a different demographic.
Yep.
You know, and it's weird how that changes. And I understand why it changes, because the dollar amount on the bicycles, mm-hmm. You know, your road bikes are that's a different level of people.
Yep.
On road bikes. But it's the same family. It's the same family vibe. The Dino races were a blast. I loved doing them. Everyone that ran them was great. All the people I raced with were great. It was my first time. I was, you know, a t-shirt and cut off shorts.
Yeah.
And on a full suspension bike. And they're like, you're running that. And I was running flats. So I wasn't even clipped in. They're like, you're running that. I'm like, yeah, I'm just here to have fun.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be hard. So it's, you know, which is why I do it.
Yeah.
Coming from a BMX background, cross country riding is one of the hardest things I could do.
Yeah.
And, which I love it for right. that reason, because right. I don't have that cardio.
Sure.
So it's fun. But they welcomed me in with open arms.
Yeah.
And it was great. And to this day, it's been 2 years, I think, since I've done a Dino race. I think I did one last year, Winona Lake. And, yeah, it was like, you know, once again, hadn't seen each other forever and catch up and this and that. And then we go race. And then as soon as we're done, it's back to being, you know, friends and being buddies and hanging out and or whatnot. So it's really neat with that. But unlike with your cycling, everybody gets together and they go do a big group ride.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really get that with BMX or with mountain biking too much.
No.
Maybe mountain biking a little bit more, but the BMX, you're kind of confined to that facility. So you don't get that group ride of let's go get coffee or let's meet on a Thursday afternoon and ride 28 miles. You know, all of your options are there when it comes to the bike and what you want to do to it or with it. But the community involvement helps.
Yeah. So if somebody were to, let's say, contact me or they listen to this, what is the best way for them to get involved? Like, do they just contact a park or do they contact a race series? Should I give them your information? Like, what is the best way for somebody to get involved if they're in a different part of the state?
Whatever. So if they're looking to start racing or looking to find a track,
okay,
USA BMX. USA BMX has a track locator on there. It'll show you all of your nearest tracks throughout the entire country. You can put 500 miles and it'll show you 500 mile radius of all of your tracks, indoor, outdoor. From there, that breaks down to schedules of races and all of that, but that's a whole nother thing. But go to your bike shop. Go to your local bike shop.
Yeah.
Your local bike shop knows everything. You know, if it's a cycling sport, your local bike shop should know. If they don't know, go to the next one.
Yeah.
Because it's really the way it should be. They should know where the trails are at. They should know where the BMX track is at. If they're not, they're missing the market. That's probably a shop you shouldn't mess with anyway. If they don't know what's going on with bikes in their community, then, you know, on to the next one.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I guess I see it. Growing up at a mom and pop shop in a small town that was very, very supportive of the BMX scene and all of that. And, you know, without that local shop, I wouldn't even have ever been into this.
Yeah.
And, you know, for being a 10, 12 year old kid and sneaking into town, we weren't supposed to cross the highway. We would jump the train tracks instead.
Ah.
Walk the train tracks and go underneath and go to the bike shop and walk around and stare at all the cool, you know, GT dynos and all of that, you know, that we couldn't afford. And our parents didn't know we were there. So we were, you know. It's talk to your local shops, talk to your local bike punks. You see a kid riding BMX on the street, he's probably not causing any harm, right. You know, stop and ask him, hey, dude, my kids are interested in this. You know, or is this something I should consider getting my kids into? Or where can we ride? Where's the bike park at? Where's the skate park at?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of word of mouth sometimes. But obviously, this day and age, we have rapid fire information in our pocket.
Mm-hmm.
USA BMX will tell you everything you need to know, local community for BMX world racing wise.
Nice.
There is a thing called Pump Track Locator.
Okay.
On, I believe, Facebook or Instagram, and I haven't used it too much, but it will tell you where all the Velo Solution pump tracks are.
Okay.
All pump tracks per state. So I've used that a couple times, like Knoxville and stuff like that, trying to find locations. Because you hear these places, Baker Creek and Knoxville or this and that, and then you're driving there, you're like, I don't really know where it's at. We'll figure it out. Once again, like I said, I've always gone through the channels of find a bike shop or a local bike punk, you know, out riding the street, ask them where it's at. But I'm old school that way.
Yeah.
So now you've got Pump Track Locator, you've got Google Maps half the time that pops up. So the options are there.
Yeah.
Very much.
Two questions left. See, sure. We almost hit an hour. What is your favorite race memory? Or yeah, let's do your favorite race memory for, I guess, yeah, all of racing that you've done, CMX.
Oh,
I know.
It's a long history.
Maybe just one that pops into your head.
So me being a dad, like I said, my kids don't race.
Right.
My daughter has raced twice.
Okay.
I once, like we talked about, the steel wheels indoor track. They run, and all your other tracks do as well. Steel wheels runs a beginner league. This goes back to how to get your kids involved. They run beginner league, and every Saturday morning, kids will meet there, and the instructors, volunteers, will teach these kids how to race BMX through this beginner league, how to do your gate starts, how to read your motos, how to take your berms, and evolve with that And then that night they go and race. So they can now learn these skills and then implement them in this race.
Yeah.
That gets them involved and keeps them involved because their family's involved.
Right. Because
now they're invested. Kind of same with soccer. My daughter does soccer. So it's tons and tons of soccer training and then they play. But needless to say, you asked about my favorite race was probably coaching beginner league and doing gates, watching my daughter do gates, never thinking she was ever going to pick it up.
Yeah.
Then racing that night on a borrowed bike from my buddy and doing phenomenal.
Oh,
it was the coolest thing to see. And it was just like, it was the passing of the torch, even though I knew that like she had no interest in doing it and she was just doing it because we were there and because, you know, dad was there. That was just so cool to see because I raced that night. My wife had just started racing as well the year before that. And so it was like, she's racing, I'm racing, my daughter's racing. And it was like, that was really cool. You know, so it was a neat moment. Aside from that, you know, just your typical, my first race was my favorite by far. I still remember, I couldn't tell you how I finished that day, but my very first time at Warsaw as a kid, I remember seeing Adam Strebe. Like I said, I was probably 10, 12 years old. And I remember sitting there in the bleachers after we set up. And all of a sudden, here comes this dude flying through the air doing a backflip on the last jump. And I'm like, no way. I'm hooked. Yeah. This is cool.
Yes.
You know? And I was hooked after that. I couldn't tell you how I've placed that day. Probably not very well. But since that day, I was hooked. I was like, there's so much you can do with it. And it's such an individual sport.
Yeah.
It was kind of immersed in it from there.
Sure. So last question.
Mm-hmm.
What's next for you for races? What's your next race?
So far this year has been pretty boring.
Oh.
Yeah. I haven't done much this year. I had a rough year last year.
Okay.
Just with injuries.
Okay.
It seemed like I was just injury prone last year. Mm-hmm. And I think I was doing too much at once because I was racing. I was still doing a lot of dirt jumping, a lot of trail riding. I went to Riveter last year in North Carolina and drove down there, got there as soon as I got there. Hadn't even hit a jump yet. I hit one jump and was rolling through and I went over the bars, landed on my face, dislocated my jaw, knocked my tooth out, broke my hand.
Everything.
So it was like that trip was done. My wife rode the whole time and while I sat there with a dislocated jaw. Finally all good from that. I broke a collarbone last year, got lucky. I think it just was a small fracture at the AC. It was a rough year for just dumb little injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So far this year, I've got, I haven't done any races yet this year for BMX. My goal this year is kind of to do more fun stuff.
Yeah.
I guess more bigger events. I'm doing the Bentonville Bike Week.
Okay.
Heading out there for that, doing the USA BMX straight rhythm, which is a head-to-head straight rhythm section, elimination round for, you know, BMX or dirt jumpers. Doing that. I'm trying to get to Sea Otter Classic.
Okay.
To do the dual slalom out there.
Fine.
So we'll see how that pans out. Plan on doing quite a few more nationals this year. I didn't do any nationals last year, but then also I'll end up doing the state series, which will bounces all over the state, all the different tracks and all of that. So as far as on the radar right now for this year, I'm not exactly sure. Like I said, I'm more focused on doing more bigger events, but more stuff that I find fun and not just a bunch of local races. Just because I'm not burnt out, but like, I don't know. I'm into too many cycling sports.
Sure.
I can either go jump my bike this weekend or I can go race my bike this weekend. If I go race, I've got to haul all this stuff there and do it this way. If I go ride and just jump or do whatever, I can do what I want. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But so far, I need to get out. I'm looking at my race bike sitting here. I rode it at Ray's last night for a while and had just an absolute blast. And it was one of those things like, okay, yeah, I'm ready. I'm itching again.
Yeah.
And I wrapped up the season, pretty good last year. I was happy with the season I had last year. So I'm ready to get back into this one.
Well, Brandon, I appreciate all of your time and knowledge about this topic. And I look forward to hearing about your races and different adventures this year. And one day, my goal is to at least watch Rich Moore race or that young boy, Jethro, who I met from Bloomington. Yeah. I just want to watch a race. So hopefully we can connect this year and maybe see something and maybe I can watch you race.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I race with Rich quite often. He's usually a moto two or two after me. Mm-hmm. So, he's in the old guy class.
He did. Well, I appreciate your time. I will edit this and hopefully get it out here in the next couple of weeks. But I hope you have fun at Ray's this weekend, and I will maybe see you soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Brandon. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.